Last week, we ended with a question. As a reward for hosting the Aron, Ovid Edom's wife and 8 daughters-in-law all gave birth to sextuplets. Why was that bracha the same kind of bracha that Klal Yisrael received in Mitzrayim? Perhaps we can explain that the whole purpose of the population explosion in Mitzrayim was to create a nation that would receive the Torah. As Hashem told Moshe, the schus for leaving slavery would be the future Kabbalah Satira. As the Pasuk says in Shemoy's Perek Gimel, Pasuk Gud Beis. And ultimately, the goal of Matan Torah is to bring the Shekhinah into the world in a permanent way. To house the Shekhinah in the Mikdash, as the Ramban points out at the beginning of Truma. If so, hosting the Aron is deeply connected to that same purpose. It carries the same Yisoyed as Matan Torah. And for that reason, Ovid Edom was rewarded with the same kind of bracha. For further insight, look at the Masechtas Brachas, Daf Samach Dalet Amar Aleph, and as well at the Maral Nesivas Oilam, page 49, and Gevuras Hashem, Chelek Yud Beis, which goes more into this topic. Since this Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh, we read the special Haftarah for the day, which mentions both Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh at the end. It begins with Hashem declaring that the heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. The Radak explains that this connects to the very beginning of Sefer Yeshaya, where Hashem says, in effect, why do I need your many karbanos? Here too Hashem is declaring that everything is already his. So what then is the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash? Not because Hashem needs a house. Rather, the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is to create a place for tefillah, and to help refine and elevate us, to uproot our negative midos, just as a carbon is consumed on the Mizbeach. Hashem places Shekhinah among us, not for his sake, but for ours. And therefore he focuses especially on the poor, the humble, and the downtrodden. But if they do averus, then the punishment they fear will indeed come upon them. We compare this to Bereishis Perek Yudal of Pasuk Ches, where the people of the Aflaga built their great city because they were afraid of being scattered. And what happened? Hashem changed their languages and scattered them anyhow. Rashi quotes the Pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Yud, Pasuk Chav Dalet, Migaris Rasha hi tiva'enu. That which the Rasha fears will indeed come upon him. Further in Haftarah, the wicked imagine that they are actually closer to Hashem than the Tzaddikim. But when their punishment arrives, they will be ashamed. By contrast, the salvation of the Tzaddikim is compared to a woman who gives birth without pain. The Navi continues with a wondrous image. Whoever heard of such a thing, that an entire nation could be born in one day? Rashi explains that the nation will fill the land all at once in a single day. Perhaps this alludes to Tichias HaMesim. As we find in the Piyut of Oimetz Yishacha at the end of Hashanah Rabbah, where this pasuk is used in the tefillah for Tichias HaMesim. The Navi then tells us, rejoice with the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, all those who mourned its destruction. From here Chazal derive in Tainus Daf Lamed Amud Beis that only those who mourn Yerushalayim will indeed merit to see its comfort. The Navi then speaks about those wicked people who are miskachim. The Radak explains that this refers to the Christians who make religious signs with their hands. Those who eat vermin refer to the Ishmaelim. They are all viewed as one nation, the fourth kingdom that subjugates our people. And they will all perish at once, as the Navi foretells in Zechariah Perek Yudalad. At that time, all the nations will find Yidden living in their lands and will bring them to Eretz Yisrael as a gift to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we will endure forever, just like the heavens and the earth. Every Shabbos and every Rosh Chodesh, all people will come to bow before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they will see the suffering of those who rebelled against him, those whose bodies still burn in Gehenna. This is the final pasuk in Sefer Yeshaya, and it is the source for the Mishnah in Idios, Perik Beis, Mishnah Yud, that the usual punishment of Rosh lasts for 12 months. The Radak explains that this refers to the sinners of the Yidden. Since we prefer not to end a Sefer on such a note, we repeat the second to last pasuk. The Yerushalmi, however, says that the Sefer itself must end on a positive note, and therefore understands the final pasuk as referring to the sinners of the Goyim. According to that view, there would be no need to repeat the earlier pasuk. Two questions still remain. First, how could the Navi refer to the customs of the Christians, who would not come into existence for many centuries? Perhaps we can answer this based on the Gemara in Tainus Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis. The Anshe Mishmar would fast during the week, davening that their kabbonis should be accepted. But they would not fast on Sunday, because people might suspect them of following the customs of the Minim. And this was true already in the times of the Bais Rishon. The Marsha explains that the practice of treating Sunday as a special day long predates to Christianity. Christianity merely adopted an already existing custom when it formed its religion. If so, perhaps these hand motions also predated Christianity, and that religion later adopted them as well. And then there's a second question. Yeshaya is known as the Navi of Nechama, as the Gemara tells us in Baba Basra, Daf Yudal Amud Beis. So why does his sefer begin with Teichecha and end with Teichecha? Have a wonderful Shabbos.